In January 1851, James and I went to a meeting in Waterbury, Vermont. Though we had little ourselves, we gave money to help others travel to the conference. Our reward was criticism. As a result of the stress, James became so ill he could scarcely walk to the printing office.
Ellen! Look at this letter that just came in the mail.
Well, what is it? Give it to me. Elder White, it has come to my attention that you and your family are living a fine life of ease, using the money sent you by the faithful few to buy expensive clothing and sumptuous lodgings. How could he think such things?
He's not the only one that thinks this way. Even Elder Bates is saying we live too well.
But we live in a few borrowed rooms, almost bare of furniture, and our clothing's tattered and patched.
And now this! This person writes to say we've squandered donations on fine horses, fancy carriages, and...
Old Charlie was given to us, and so was our buggy.
It's no use to try to struggle any longer. I have written a note to put in the paper stating that I shall publish no more. I'm going to take this note to Mr. Mellon at the printing shop right now.
James!
Ellen? Ellen, dear? She's fainted. Oh, Lord, look upon your servant Ellen. If it is thy will, return her to health and make her whole.
Oh, James, I... Help me to a chair and stay with me. Don't take that note to Mr. Mellon today, please.
The next morning, while praying at family worship, I was taken in vision.
James, I have a message about the paper. You're not to discontinue publishing, for that's exactly what Satan wants. I was shown that if you continue to publish, the Lord will uphold you.
The world was changing rapidly. Steam was overtaking sail, and in 1851, the sidewheeler Baltic set a record from New York to Liverpool of less than 10 days. James steamed along too, pouring all his strength into the publishing work. John Andrews was a great help to him.
Sister Ellen, I worry for Elder White. He seems so weak. He's depressed sometimes and tired most of the time.
My husband hasn't yet gotten over that difficult trip to Vermont, Brother John.
I don't wonder.
Although he doesn't say it, it took a lot out of him. Most of the people who spread rumors have apologized, including Elder Bates, but...
But the physical effects linger.
Yes.
And he does too much. Editing the paper, taking long, arduous trips to minister to the flock. He really needs help.
You have been a great help to him.
Not as much as I'd like.
The disgraceful fugitive slave law, passed in 1850, was widely disobeyed. Families set up stations on the Underground Railroad to help runaway slaves reach Canada. But it seemed there would be no real freedom until Jesus came again. Perhaps that's why Elder Bates set a new time for the Lord's appearing, November 1851.
Ellen, I'm disturbed by Elder Bates' time setting. What do you think of his reasoning?
I confess, I can't see it, James. His proof seems to rest only on inference. I think he's mistaken.
Quite a few people have accepted his view, though, in New Hampshire and Vermont.
We'll have to pray for guidance on this.
In June 1851, I was given a vision that made it plain we were not to set a time for the Second Advent. In late July, deciding to publish in a more central location, we moved the paper to Saratoga Springs, New York, where we rented a large house.
Oh, James, I can hardly wait till Clarissa Bonfoy arrives with little Edson.
Me too. I just wish we could have Henry with us.
But I realize he's better off with the Howlands for now.
Maybe someday soon. Well, I'll just look forward to my sister Sarah's arrival. I think she and Stephen Belden want you to marry them.
My pamphlet, A Sketch of the Christian Experience and Views of Ellen G. White, was published that summer. On Sarah and Stephen's wedding day, August 5th, 1851, the first number of Volume 2 of the Review and Herald came off the press. Folding and addressing the papers was a very big job for such a small group, but more help was on the way.
Ellen, there's something I want you to hear. I received a letter from a young lady who says she's acquainted with Elder Bates, a Miss Annie R. Smith. She's enclosed a poem.
Is it any good?
Listen to the first verse. Fear not, little flock, for Christ is our rock. The promise stands sure, the kingdom he'll give to the same that endure.
Why, that's lovely, James. It almost sounds like a hymn.
This Miss Smith has talent. I sure could use someone like her to help me with the paper.
Why don't you ask Elder Bates about her?
I'll do that. Elder Bates, you know Miss Smith.
Yes.
Tell me about her.
Oh, yes. There's a young lady with writing talent. Oh, we met under rather unusual circumstances.
How do you mean?
Well, not long ago, I was to lead a meeting at the home of Sister Temple near Boston. The night before the first meeting, I had a dream. In it, every seat in the room was filled but one.
What happened?
As I opened my Bible to begin my sermon, the door opened and a young woman entered and took the empty seat. Then, after the meeting... Hello, young lady. I believe you're Sister Smith's daughter. I've never met you before, but you look familiar.
How's that, Elder Bates?
Why, last night, I dreamed of seeing you. I dreamed you arrived late and took the last seat.
This is strange indeed, Elder Bates. Last night, I had the very same dream you just related.
What?
I don't understand.
Well, the only thing to understand is that God directed these dreams to us. It looks like the Lord wants you with us, my dear. You can't fight against it.
In the letter that came with her poem, Miss Smith said she just recently accepted the Sabbath truth.
That's right. She and her younger brother Uriah were with the company who looked for the Lord's return in 1844. After the passing of the time, they returned to their pursuit of secular and literary fame.
Literary?
Oh, yes. She's been an agent and contributor to The Lady's Wreath.
That's an elegant magazine. I guess she does have a chance for success. Would someone like that be interested in working for us?
She's a good young woman, James. Her talent would be invaluable to the Review and Herald.
You've convinced me. I will write to the young lady and ask her to come to Saratoga Springs.
My dear Elder White, thank you for your kind invitation. I would very much like to come, but my physical condition prevents me. For many months, my eyes have given me great trouble, sometimes being so painful that I can read nothing for days.
My dear Miss Smith, it grieves me to hear about the trouble with your eyes. I myself had great problems with my eyes from boyhood, until God healed me at the age of 16. Please accept my offer to come to Saratoga, and we will pray together for your recovery.
Dear Elder White, your letter convinced me that indeed I should come to Saratoga Springs to help with the Review and Herald. I am even now packing my bags and should arrive by rail in just a few days.
In November 1851, Annie Smith joined the Review staff. James could leave her to mail and sometimes edit the paper, while he spent more time among the flock. With Sarah in charge of the housework, I was also freer to write and preach.
Welcome back, Elder White. We're all ready to get started on the next issue.
You did an excellent job of getting the paper sent out, Sister Smith. God has certainly sent you to... Come in, come in.
Good morning, Elder White. I brought that manuscript you asked me to write and... Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you had company.
That's all right, John. Your article's right on time for our next issue. Thank you. I don't think you know our copy editor and jack-of-all-trades, John Andrews. Meet Annie Smith.
I'm pleased to meet you, Sister Smith.
And I you, Brother Andrews.
Smith. Annie Smith. Haven't I read some of your poetry in the Review?
No doubt you have. We print her poems quite often. I don't know how we'd get along without her.
Your poems are impressive, Sister Smith.
Thank you. Of all the things I do, writing poetry and hymns are my favorite pastimes.
Hymns, eh? I'd like to hear you sing some of them.
Well, you'll have to hear her some other time. The two of you scat now. I have a million things to catch up on.
Yes, sir. Let's go, sister.
Annie's arrival marked a turning point. The Review and the work would continue to grow.